Oh, that's right. I tell you what, we're loaded for bear this afternoon because we have Charlie Barano, city manager, right here with us this afternoon. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing great, Ann.
It's good to have you on the show.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So what was the city manager doing before you got to come to this gig this afternoon?
I was trying to figure out this weather. You know, we were getting ready for spring and then get hit with this winter blast. But, you know, just what every other city manager does, working on some grant applications, approving some purchase orders, just an average ho-hum day.
Now, of course, I saw a picture in the paper on Twitter, I guess it was. Did they take the pig down to Myrtle Beach or something?
We took the pig to Columbia.
We
applied to receive an achievement award through the Municipal Association, and we wanted to be brave and, as the saying goes, go big or go home. And so we boxed up barbecue and took her on down to Columbia, and we lost. We were very disappointed. But our staff, man, we threw everything at it, and it was just, we were very proud of our team and all the work that we've done.
Well, who beat you then?
Florence, the city
Florence.
Of Florence. And if you've been to Florence lately, they've had a great run with their downtown and some of the things that they're doing. But what we were trying to show is over the last 9 years with the topiaries out on the square, we just ran some numbers. And our hospitality tax growth, so how much people are eating out in the uptown
right.
during the months of June and July when those topiaries are out, has increased over 290%.
Wow.
During those 2 months from what it was 9 years ago to what it is today. Not saying that the topiaries are the draw for all that, but still they've played.
Well, you know, you see people out at night walking with the kids and doing stuff. You see them anytime, day or night, up there when the topiaries are out. And you don't see them walking like that when the topiaries aren't.
Without a doubt. And, you know, the panel that interviewed us, they looked at us and they said, well, does anybody else have a topiary in South Carolina? And we're like, don't think so. This is, you know, something rare. And the fact that, you know, 5,000 hours of volunteer hours a year go into those topiaries, it really is something for Greenwood to be very proud of. So we really tooted our horn that day in Columbia.
So, okay. Well, I remember seeing the picture and I didn't quite get it.
Well, we were hoping that, you know, we would come back with a big celebration.
And
we'll apply again. We'll try again.
But then Millhouse came back with an award from...
They sure did. They sure did. The Millhouse received the South Carolina Community Development Award during the South Carolina Rural Summit. Secretary Bobby Hitt presented that award. And Maceo Nance there in Pawleys Island, I believe that they had the South Carolina Rural Summit this year. So it was just recognizing the achievement of the Millhouse and good times of their last 7-year run with the expansion they've got now of the Good Times Brewery going into their third building. So
they'll be owning that whole block there before long.
You know, pizza and beer, just like blues and barbecue, pizza and beer work together. So.
That's right. Speaking of that, we've got the Festival of Discovery. You'll be here before you know it, Charlie.
That's right. July the 6th through the 8th. This will be our 17th year, festivaldiscovery.com. We opened up the judges. You know, we need over 100 judges to judge for this event. They come from all over the United States. Literally within 40.
This is the KCB.
That's right. Kansas City Barbecue Society sanctioned event. Literally within 48 hours, our judges' slots were full. Within a week of selling spaces for the barbecue teams, we had over 70 barbecue teams pay entry into our event.
Wow.
So it is really a thing to be proud of. And we look forward to having all the blues artists here on your show in July. And Gary will be releasing that lineup soon. So the Greenwood Blues Cruise is back in 2017.
And it'll be bigger than ever now since, I was just reading Uptown that you have added the Hampton Place Shopping Center, and I guess Montague's will be one of the slots now.
That's right. So on the Blues Cruise this year will be Montague's. Hopefully, you know, there's a number of new restaurants. Southern Soul on Main has announced. going in the old 312 main slot. We are hearing that a restaurant is looking, may have signed a lease in the old Uchi E spot, so we'll see. It'll be great to have the Inn on the Square back again this year on the Greenwood Blues Cruise, so should be a lot of fun. I'm sure we'll have well close to 20-plus blues musicians for 3 or 4 days during that event.
It's going to be huge.
Huge.
There you go. I tell you, another thing that's really exciting about Uptown is the Veterans Center and the plaza there, and yep. a combination effort of the city and the county coming together to do some great work.
That's
up
right.
There.
Yeah, the city and the county and the veterans folks have done a great job, and not exactly sure when the true unveiling of that
be
project
May
24th.
Will be.
Okay.
Yep.
See,
May 24th. I'm on it. There you
Way
go.
Way to go, Ann.
Yep.
But the city, we also are working to improve the pedestrian ADA access. We will be adding a countdown pedestrian light there at Seaboard in Maine. If you've driven through lately, you may wonder what happened to all the landscaping.
We took it all out.
We scalped the landscaping really to open up that pedestrian mall area or plaza area so that you could see it from Main Street so you can get a good view of the Eagle. We removed the old English boxwoods, and we're going to go back with a lot of flowers and things that attract butterflies and other things like that. So in the coming weeks, you'll see city staff over there dressing that back up. So.
Well, that's going to be great. And, I think, and if you've driven through there at night, since the lights, even yep. though the Eagle is not unveiled, you can see how pretty the plaza is right
yep,
there.
Yep. We added, just like we've done on all our other projects, we've added areas where we'll be able to do the string lighting during the holidays over there. So it really, you'll be able to walk through that area and really enjoy it.
So these are some of the good things that are happening in Uptown Greenwood. And, of course, you know, since adding the Hampton Plaza there, I was kind of hard to understand how it's that you're adding that, and it's a $25 million tax base, $51,960, but it only adds a $2,500 increase.
Yeah,
what's the deal
I
there?
I think that $25 million tax base is the entire Uptown. I think that's the entire Uptown area is that $25 million. But the way the Uptown Greenwood Tax District is set up, it was formed in 1984. And so the properties that are on Main Street, literally those that are on the immediate square, mm-hmm. pay the most. And then there's a different structure for those that are off Main Street. If you are a service industry, you don't pay as much as a retail industry. Obviously, the Uptown does more marketing to draw in clothing sales, restaurant sales, things like that. So services, accountants, they pay less. Retail pays more. On Main Street pays more. Off Main Street pays less. So Hampton Plaza will be retail off Main Street, and they'll pay approximately $2,500 in addition to their normal property taxes.
Now, what's the advantage for the city? And I mean, $2,500 is not a huge tax base increase. So
no.
What's the advantage?
Again, it's just it builds the value of the more people that we can market. So now when we market Uptown Greenwood, we can add not only Montague's to that restaurant mix, Crossland's Deli, we can add them. You can say that there's a somewhat of a drugstore with the Dollar General, a mixed service business there. You've got the two
Romac.
Consignment stores, Romac.
And so, Sidwell's. Yep.
Yeah, so it's good. It expands the base. It helps for marketing purposes. And the fact of the matter is they wanted to be a part of it. They saw the value of Uptown Greenwood.
So that's good. And I understand there's going to be some sprucing up with signs and this type of thing.
Yeah, I think the owners of the Hampton Plaza, Hampton Place Shopping Center, are looking to put in some digital reader boards. I know that they're putting out some new landscaping, new mulch, doing some paint work. And they have some ways that they want to help those tenants. So it's good for everybody.
It's a win-win.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So they won't just be, as I think the paper said, a parking lot to Uptown Greenwood.
That's right.
Boy, that made you feel good, didn't it? All right. Anyways, that's the newest, I guess, edition of something happening in Uptown. But Charlie, I know I'm going to ask you this. Isn't the bypass considered part of the city?
Sure.
Okay. And what are we doing on the bypass?
Well, there's a lot of things going on the bypass. Obviously, the bypass has the highest traffic counts in the county. And so there's a lot.
I have a building to sell that I'm promoting on that aspect.
I can tell. I can tell.
Yeah.
I can tell. It's continuing to grow. Just this year we've seen the opening of Panera Bread, Holiday Inn Express. Lidl will be opening up later this summer. I fully believe that will continue to follow with new retail brands coming into the area.
Yeah. So it's, and of course you got to look at the shopping center next door here.
It's full. And just a few years ago, it was almost vacant.
Yeah.
So, it's gone tenfold.
It has. So, things are looking good at Greenwood. What's the challenges as a city manager? What's some of the challenges that you're dealing with though? I know that it's not all just roses.
No, I wish, but, we're constantly chasing revenue. None of us want to pay taxes. I don't think anybody enjoys writing a check to pay taxes, but the reality is that's what funds the services of the city. And, every different angle from, our business license revenue, the local government fund, we talked about potential changes to the retirement system funding. All of those cost more. And so nobody wants to pay more taxes. But in reality, unless you're growing at a fast pace, there's no other way to do it.
Well, I think, if we really break it down, the pension system could be a huge dollar chunk, particularly this year, next year, for the cities and the counties, because they have, as states have a tendency to do, kick the can down the road. Now they're looking at $24-25 billion in shortfall. Now, I know the state is coming in and they're putting some money in it, and I think they're looking to the counties and to the cities, aren't they?
They are. I think there's a number of different models that are being debated. A lot of it has to do with actuaries and, folks that have higher pay grade than I do. But in essence, they're looking to increase the contribution rate. And if they do that, that could impact us into the six-figure range, well into the six-figure range. So a couple of mils of tax, 2, 3, 4 mils of tax. A mil of tax right now generates for us about $50,000. So about, $150,000 to $200,000 of revenue that we would need to come up with.
And I think the thing that a lot of people don't understand, that I have come to understand, is that if that pension system was close to additional new people being able to go into the pension system, how many people do we know that work for the state that say, I work for the benefits at the end here, right?
Without a doubt. That would be detrimental. We were talking before the show started, 1 in 10 individuals in the state of South Carolina are on the retirement system, either own it or retired. So it is a...
I think I'd like a government job. I'm changing my ways.
But I mean, it's all the school teachers, it's police officers, it's firemen, it's all the state employees.
City employees on that?
We are.
So that, and I think a lot of people don't understand, if that system was closed and they said, well, if you're vested in it, okay, you've got it. But if not, new people, the effect on the city and the county would be huge, wouldn't it?
It would.
You'd have to make up that 30%.
Yeah, from a morale standpoint, I mean, there are a lot of people that stay committed to the city, the county, the state before the state retirement benefit. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons.
So if that wasn't there, then you would have to either contribute to a 401, but it's a big part of their pay.
That's without a doubt. And
I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it is a huge deal.
It is huge. There's people that, I'm one of them. I mean, my family, we look at that as our retirement.
Yeah, sure.
Into the future.
And it goes not only health benefits, but retirement, all the retirement aspects of it.
That's right.
So, So that is one thing that has to get resolved and can't be kicked down the road any further.
That's right.
Also, of course, we've got the roads that they're looking at. What do you hear as far as a couple of penny sales tax, you know, a year as far as the gas tax? What are you hearing?
What we're hearing is that the majority of South Carolina voters would be in favor of an additional penny sales tax. I think the challenge that that comes in is, where does that money go? And everybody has a different opinion. If you're in some of the higher traveled areas, you'll say, well, we need to put it where there's higher traffic. Well, but if you're in the Greenwoods and the Abbevilles and McCormick's, you're going, we need our share.
So really, it would have to come out of the counties, wouldn't it? Just the gas tax, if we added a 2 cents gas tax, then it should come back to this area.
And that's going to be where the debate is, I think. I think that there's some consensus to increase, but then where does it go? I think that if they say, well, it's going to just go to the interstates, then you would see those that would say it needs to come to some areas of rural South Carolina.
Exactly.
So we'll see. And there's always discussion of letting some of the state roads go back to the counties and the cities. And
you guys don't want that, though, do you?
We don't. Nobody would. How would you like to be given a clunker of a car and be given no money to maintain it?
Well, that's kind of the discussion that they kind of had with the bus system there for a while. They were going to do it to the local school districts, right?
Yeah.
And then they decided to keep it because people said they couldn't keep up the buses.
Yeah.
So
it's the reality is you got to pay for stuff and you got to maintain it. And that's what it is. And nobody wants to raise taxes, but unless you're growing at an exorbitant rate, how else do you do it?
You know, one of the other projects that's going on Uptown Greenwood that we didn't talk about was the building where Scrambled Eggs used to be.
Yeah, that's, and I just had a, it's Hannah Dover's project, and I just, Think Tank.
Right.
Think Tank, and so that was 206 Main Street, and so the Dovers bought that building and really preserved some beautiful, I guess they call that ghost murals. I had never heard that term before, but some Coca-Cola murals inside the building that were there probably 100 years or more ago. It's going to be a great addition to Main Street.
Now, how does the Think Tank thing work?
Yeah, so the Think Tank model is, in essence, you share an office space. So maybe you only need a cubicle size space, and occasionally you may want a conference room, a kitchen. So it would be creative type people. So maybe an architect or maybe a web designer, or maybe a graphic developer, all get in together and work out of the same hub.
Hmm. Okay. All right. And do they have another place? Do they have a place overhead?
So I think their vision is that they could have maybe a retail tenant on the bottom and then the Think Tank upstairs.
You know, another big topic, I know the things you're working on, we have some other topics we want to talk in, but what about all the awnings and the awnings?
Yeah, the arcades.
The arcades.
That's
there you
right.
Go.
So the city in the early 80s put in the two-story arcade, the two-story brick structure walkways to provide second-story access to the buildings in downtown. It opened up tens of thousands of square feet. And so those arcades have largely... they have to be maintained like anything else. And so this year we have painted them. We've brought them. Right now, if you see some boards over the railings are being brought into ADA standards. The railings are not high enough in certain areas, so the rail is going to be increased. There's also not a handrail that's required by ADA disability accessibility. So that is going to be added. The elevators, if you've used one of those elevators, they're dated, and so we're going to be updating those elevator cabs.
Where's all that money come from, Charlie?
Yeah, that's coming from hospitality taxes, and so City Council has voted to use that for that purpose, it gives access, and it's also a beautification to the downtown.
Yeah. So, well, it's a lot going on uptown Greenwood.
Yeah.
And I think it is. You've done some more streetscapes since the last time we've been on. I think you were working over there.
We finished Phoenix and Magnolia and Riley. We are now our next phase. We're moving to East Court. So right there at the end on the square, you'll probably hear some discussions about that. The end on the square purchased the building, the old laundromat there behind the inn, and is looking to turn that into a meeting space. And so we want to put the power lines that are in and fiber lines below ground, upgrade those sidewalks, make it safer, nicer, so that more people will come downtown.
There you go. So there's a lot happening uptown Greenwood. You know, we're going to come back in just a few minutes. We want to talk about the Southside Park. We want to talk about the other things that are going on. One of them is the partnership on the Habitat for Humanity and redoing the homes over there, Mineral Court, in that area.
Right.
So we've got a lot more things to talk about. But, hey, Charlie's in the building. So if you have a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. Andy, let's hear a word from our sponsors, go into the news, and we'll be back. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. My very special guest is Charlie Barrineau. We're talking about a lot of different issues facing the city and facing us all, whether we live in uptown. And that is one of the components that they are trying to kick off, too, is having people actually living uptown.
That's right. The Textile Building, I think, is coming along. That was Tim Burke's project there. Obviously, he has his three retail businesses on the bottom, Sugar, Main Street Market, and in the middle, Frilly Frog.
Oh, right.
Those three are there, and he's hopeful to now move up with 15 condominiums. I believe he's got two or three sold. So far, has not had any trouble selling those. So as one sells, he moves on to the next one. So you can Google that, the Textile Building. I think they've got a Facebook page.
And Main and Maxwell, the let's see, I saw a furniture store supposed to be coming into uptown Greenwood. Is that right?
Not sure about that. Yeah, you may know something I don't.
I think I saw that in the paper, I thought. But they are looking at expanding what they're doing right there.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, I may have known something Charlie didn't know here today. That might be very surprising if that was true. So maybe I'm wrong. But other things that are happening now, they're doing some more condo type things on the second and third floor businesses for the Main and Maxwell building right there.
So there's a corporate tenant moving into the Greenwood building.
Right.
There above above Main and Maxwell, I believe it's the fourth floor. There's a new retail space, Fig, that's announced, that's coming to Maxwell Avenue.
Isn't that Fig? Isn't that, it is a furniture store.
No, Fig is going to be a invitation. They're going to do like wedding invitations.
Okay, there's invitations. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. The Davis girl's doing that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that one, but I thought there was another one coming in. Anyways, you've got good stuff going there, but we wanted to talk about some of the Southside Park. Now, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And so just remember to your listeners, our majority of the voters did approve a capital project sales tax in November of this past year on the ballot. So that tax begins May the 1st. So we're about 2 months away from that kicking off. Taxpayers, retail businesses should have received notice by now. I know that the notice went out from the Department of Revenue about that 1% increase. So.
It did? I don't remember seeing it, Charlie.
There's a link on our website, Ann. Go to cityofgreenwoodsc.com.
Am I in the city? I don't think I am here. Okay, go ahead. All right.
Yeah. And so one of the first projects of the sales tax was approved funding for a number of park spaces. The one that the city was most interested in was the Southside Park, or the park that would be located on Foundry Road next to the Greenwood Housing Authority campus, and really easily connected to the Matthews Mill Village, Blith Heights, Wisewood neighborhood, Panola, in the southern end of the city.
And so what will that park entail?
Yeah, well, biggest thing, I believe it'll be a gateway entrance into the south end of Greenwood, you know, coming up in from the Edgefield area. We will hopefully better connect the sidewalks there. I think that you will see some walking track, similar product that's there at West Cambridge Park. So play sets for younger children, play sets for elementary age children. Maybe some field spaces as we get further in the design. Could be a soccer field. We'll see picnic shelters.
And what is going to how are you going to prepare for that? I think I read that you were going to be using some hospitality funds.
Yeah, so that is what's known as a brownfield. That was the former Greenwood Foundry property. And so we're working with DHEC. We will soon apply for what's called a non-responsible voluntary cleanup contract. Long word. But in essence, we will apply for a contract that will protect the city from any of the environmental problems that are there. The Housing Authority's 501c3 currently owns the property. They will then give it to the city. We will enter into the contract with DHEC that says we're going to do these things to make sure that it's environmentally safe. Would be one, you know, we would put the parking lot, for example, over any environmental contaminants. So in essence, to cap those environmental contaminants from the future. And then we will design from there. So, you know, I would like to say that we would have a park there hopefully in the 2019-2020 time frame.
So about 3 years.
So we'll see. But right now we've got to do there's going to be a lot of staging. There'll be some earth dirt removal that'll have to take place, some digging out earth dirt brought in. And then we'll have to do some civil studies with our engineers to get it all planned out and laid out and a phasing strategy.
Yeah. And also, at one point, you were talking about a connector between the genetic.
Yeah, and that's more towards the end of the sales tax. That's probably the sales tax is 8 years. It's probably in year 6-7. Mm-hmm. But it's the connector that connects from the historic train site there into the backside of the genetic center. The connector, we think, could cost anywhere from $5 to $7 million. The penny sales tax put up the first phase of that, so a little over $1 million, I think, is in there for the connection phase. And hopefully that first phase will build a road from the train back into Edgefield Street and better connect there. And then a road would be connected from Edgefield into the Genetic Center campus. Hopefully, as Clemson University grows, it will make more sense that why this is happening and that we can truly build this knowledge economy and this research hub on the Genetic Center campus.
You know, Charlie, I got to ask you, you know, how long have you worked for the city now? You were assistant city manager
17
first.
17 years.
Since 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever think that you would see the growth and the, you know, I know we all talk about vision and this type of thing, but did you ever think that you would see it come to the direction that it has come even so far?
Well, you know, some things we hit some luck and some things we didn't. But I mean, there's been a planned approach. I mean, none of this has really occurred randomly. We've really, you know, the Genetic Center and the research campuses there has been a project that has been ongoing for over 3 decades. And the Partnership Alliance, the Self Family Foundation, Self Regional Healthcare, I mean, they've seen that vision and they've been patient and committed to it. Similar to the things that have happened with Uptown, the success of Lander University. I mean, there's been leadership that has stayed consistently committed to these efforts.
But as personally, yourself, when you ever walk around and you look at the things that have accomplished under your being part of this and being then becoming city manager, do you ever walk around and pinch yourself and say, this is pretty cool?
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, I also realize that we've got an awesome team. I mean,
sure.
We the leadership, as I said here, I think that the city and the county are working better right now than in the 17 years I've been here. The relationship there is exceptional. The Partnership Alliance is doing a great job. So we all seem to be singing off the same sheet of music right now. At times that has not occurred, but right now we're all in tandem.
That's terrific. So Southside Park, that's a project. Now, what about the I had a thought here. I was thinking about, you know, one of the things that has happened is what about all the trash pickup and the automated trash trucks now? And you have to get your trash cans out there, right?
Yeah,
and everything.
We've had folks that have complained about that. Nobody likes change, but it's the reality with everything. I mean, everything is moving to where we can make it more cost effective. You know, we talked about things increasing, the retirement increasing, health insurance increasing. Well, if we don't decrease in some areas, improve our efficiencies, then costs only go up. And so we're moving to automated collection. We now only need to purchase one more truck and we will be fully automated to where no longer will we have individuals riding on the back of garbage trucks.
What has happened to the people that were in those jobs?
Yeah, those jobs have largely transitioned over into our public work sector, or those individuals were lost through attrition, or they were a temporary part-time position. We have not let go of any individual that was a full-time employee.
Okay. Now, I just watched a little video on over there what was happening with Habitat for Humanity, Mineral Park. I mean, some of that area looks pretty bad.
Sure. Yeah, so that is the West Side community. That is part of the 2012 Edgefield South Main master plan. The West Side is strategically in the middle of the development between the hospital, the genetics center, and Uptown Greenwood. There's a lot of exceptional residents that continue to live there that have called that home. And so, unfortunately, there's also a lot of dilapidated housing in the middle of all that. And so our goal is to, we've received funding through SC Housing in partnership with the United States Treasury. We're partnering with Habitat. And so we're going in and buying dilapidated, boarded up houses, removing that, greening those spaces, going back, greening those lots with the hope that long-term we could hopefully bring back more single-family housing and encourage the single-family housing stock that it remains there to be renovated.
So how is that project proceeding?
Yeah, so it is a long process. We're about 4 to 5 months in. We have not torn down any houses at this point, but we have purchased, we've closed on probably, I would say, 10 to 15 homes. By the end of the summer, we will have closed on about 30 homes. Right now, we're in...
What kind of price do you buy those at, just out of curiosity?
That's fair. We're only paying the tax value. So we made a concerted effort in the beginning that we didn't want to get into the negotiation game. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone to all these owners and said, you know, we're only offering the tax value. If you're not willing to accept that, then that's all we're offering.
Right.
We felt like that was fair to everybody. Right. We didn't want to pay one more than the other.
Right.
And so everybody's getting the tax value. If anybody wants to know, those numbers are on the county's website. And so then we're going in once we buy them, and we have to, what we're in now is the asbestos remediation phase. We're now studying what asbestos is in about 10 of these homes. We're doing them in clusters of 10. Mm-hmm. So we've hired an asbestos contractor surveyor that goes in and takes flecks of paint and caulk and puts them in a little sample bag and then goes back and studies it and says yes or no. And so then we determine
it'll cost how much more it'll
exactly.
cost to
then we
get
determine
rid of that.
A plan of what's in there. And so we will hire an asbestos abatement contractor, so a general contractor that truly has a license with DHEC to remove asbestos. They'll come in, put all the security up, remove all that stuff. Once it's safely removed and bagged and taken and disposed of correctly, then the wrecking ball will move in and the structure will be removed.
Okay. After this house, you've got the apartments over there you're taking down. That's Mineral Park.
Yeah, so the Mineral Court Apartments is another project. We're using community development block grant funding there. Very similar. We've engaged Davis and Floyd Engineers. Davis and Floyd is developing the asbestos survey as we speak. So we know what asbestos is in there, and they're developing specifications for a general contractor that is asbestos certified to come in and remove that. I would say by the end of the summer, we'll have that apartment complex removed.
And then what is the plan, Charlie?
Yeah, long term, Habitat for Humanity would like to build what's called Carolina Place. Carolina Place would be hopefully 15 single family houses. But you know, is how that strategy all works out, and they're now seeking funding to put the infrastructure in for that small neighborhood.
And would the city go in and do some, well, the infrastructure, I guess, the sidewalks and the lighting?
Possibly,
and
you know, we would not have funding now. We would have to seek out grant funding and partnerships, but there are funds available for those type projects.
Now, one of the things, Charlie, that I know has been a struggle, and I know in the past that, for example, the hospital buying up more and more property as a nonprofit, it really, not only the hospital, but other organizations that are nonprofits, that causes less money on the tax rolls.
Sure. 35%, approximately 35% of the city does not pay taxes of the city's land base. So not just the hospital, as you said, you know, there's others, Lander University, the schools, Wesley Commons. And obviously, all those institutions provide important services for our community, but
sure.
But they do not pay taxes. And so the struggle that we have had is that, unfortunately, the percentage of those that do not pay taxes are growing at a faster rate than those that do. And so all you got to do is do the math. We can't continue.
So what does that mean for those of us that are paying the taxes now, Charlie?
We have successfully, 5 years ago, we negotiated an agreement where Wesley Commons, Self Regional Healthcare, and Carolina Health Centers would pay a flat amount of money annually. And we successfully renegotiated that for another 5 years this past fall. So for the next 5 years, 2017 through, I guess, 2022, we have an agreement with them for that funding.
So their taxes, as far as that, it shouldn't be an adverse impact on the rest of us. I'll just say it that way. He's not going to say it, folks. He just gave me the sigh and the look and the eye.
I don't know if it's all going to balance out there, Anne. But, you know, it's those institutions do provide a tremendous benefit. You look at the huge investment that Wesley Commons is currently making, the new campus that they're building. Obviously, that will bring people to this area that will then spend money. We know that. So there's a balancing act. It really is.
Yeah, I just know that's one thing up there. Now, there was one other thing you wanted to talk about here today. Have we missed something? I think you had something you wanted to talk about. Let's see, the body cameras.
Yeah.
Hello, body cameras. Yeah. Yes. What did? Now the money is in the penny sales tax for that futuristically, correct?
No, the body cameras. The money in the sales tax is for the radios.
The radios.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Body cameras. So 2 years ago, the state passed the body camera bill legislation that said that we are required to have body cameras if the state puts up the money. And the state started putting up the money last year. We secured over a $200,000 grant. We now have the computer infrastructure in place to maintain that video technology. And we have equipped about a third of our department with body cameras.
Now that's the police department,
correct? Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, we have 58 officers, so about a third of them are currently wearing body cameras. And it's integrated. It's not just the body camera. The body camera, the microphone, and the in-car camera are all integrated to where that when you go back to the DVD to review, you can see the angle at real time and the mic, the sound, all integrated. It's really impressive technology. So another about 30, 35 officers will receive those this year. It's really a supply issue where we have all of our stuff ready, but there's so much demand to purchase body cameras right now that we are not able to get the cameras in. But hopefully by the summer we'll have all that done.
Have you seen a difference Is it in any of the ones that are already wearing them, or does
it? I don't interact with it on a day-to-day basis. I have seen an improvement. I think that the police officers want them. I think that they want to, at least our officers, they want that. It protects their
security,
story, or
yeah.
But the body cameras are not everything. They certain angles. If you were to unholster your weapon, it may block the camera from being seen from view. I mean, so they're not perfect. Mm-hmm. But
it's just another.
It's another avenue. That's right. A lot of it, and you, I think, just recently had Gerald Chief Brooks in here. A lot of it is training. A lot of it is their efforts to hire qualified individuals. They go through the nth degree to hire the right people.
And they have a tough time.
They do.
They are short, a couple of officers.
We have applicants, but, I commend Gerald. He has been committed that he would... If the applicant is not qualified, he would rather have a vacant spot. And he has stayed, committed to that. And I think it's been for the betterment of the department. So,
Well, I think both our police department and our sheriff's department really go out of their way to do a good job. And they work together,
yep.
Which I think is an important part when you've got a city and county as we do.
Yep. New sheriff, Sheriff Dennis Kelly. We're working well with Sheriff Kelly and the folks at the Sheriff's Department. A lot of folks don't realize how much integration there is with the Sheriff and Police Department. We operate off the same records management system.
Well, it's kind of hard because one side of the street could be the county and the other side, if we take Walmart up here in Lowe's,
it
right?
It is. It makes no sense for a police officer or a deputy not to have the same information because the criminal doesn't care. he doesn't care if he's in the city or the county, and so it's critical that those officers have the same information.
One of the things that I've noticed, Charlie, talking about this, is the sirens. We just seem to have on the bypass here, it seems like a big increase of emergency vehicles,
yeah.
Whether it's the fire department, whether it's EMS, but it just seems like the sirens, there's very much of an uptick in that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's the location where you are. The county in the last, 6 months to a year went to where they now have paid volunteer firefighters. And so where during the day where they used to not have a volunteer at the station, they now have volunteers at stations. So, for example, if there was a fire out at the lake and that volunteer was at Northwest, they may be driving this way. As before, that may have not occurred because there wasn't. So that may be some of the uptick. But we're constantly trying to help each other. The city fire department, we go on first responder calls. So if there's medical calls, we're rolling on those. The radios, all that integration just helps everybody to have as much of the same knowledge and help each other as our resources get less and less.
So what about now you have also put in a lot of cameras uptown.
We have.
And what can you tell us about that? Because I notice the cameras when you really look around.
With the cameras that we have uptown and the cameras that we have at City Hall, there's probably 15 to 20 now,
mm-hmm.
And we're continuing to add. Just last week, we had some damage to a city property and went back to the camera and saw who did it. And we identified those individuals, and now they've turned it over to our investigators and... So in that case, there was probably $500 to $1,000 worth of damage that we would have never known who did.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have an indication who did it, and hopefully we will recover those dollars.
And what about, we didn't even talk about the Uptown Market.
Yeah, and so we're going to be splishing and splashing here in a few weeks. The interactive fountain will turn back on right there at Memorial Day. A lot of new vendors at the market, and so that's always exciting. We can always use more. And so I encourage anybody that would like to be a vendor at the Uptown Market to give Stephanie Turner a call. But right now they are open on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. And so our big day is Wednesday from 10 to 2.
And you have the hospital coming by there, don't
that's
they usually
right.
come
yep,
by?
Yep, yep.
So lots of good things. Spring is here. You are listening to WCRS. Charlie, is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know here this afternoon before I let you go?
Just continue to keep up with us. The City of Greenwood's website is cityofgreenwoodsc.com. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We'd love to provide whatever answers to your questions, information that you may want. We're here to serve you.
And Festival of Discovery will be here before you know it.
That's right. The topiaries will be going out for the Festival of Flowers at the end of May. So we're just a few weeks away, and 43 topiaries will roll out onto the square. So
yeah, it's going to be, it's always fantastic. 50 years for
50
the
years, right.
Festival of Flowers. So that's huge. 17 years, the 17th season for Festival of Discovery. It really is blooming uptown.
That's right. It's blooming in all of Greenwood. Lots
okay,
going on.
Okay, all right. I got it. I finally got him to say it. Charlie Barino, City Manager, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you, Ann.
All right. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.